The Business on RT Radio 1 with Ulster Bank. For when you're keen to know what Brexit means for your business, visit ulsterbank.ie/Brexit.
Well, the oil industry has been in sharp focus lately. Yesterday, OPEC warned that climate campaigners are the greatest threat to the industry. Meanwhile, tensions have increased between Iran and the US over the seizure of an oil tanker. Our next guest has spent 8 years looking at the history of the oil industry with a particular focus on the links between oil and religion. Darren Dochuk is an associate professor of history at Notre Dame University and the author of Anointed with Oil, and he joins me now. Darren, let's go back to the early wave of US oil barons who were, in their own way, like frontiersmen. How did Christianity and religious zeal come into it?
Many of these early wildcat oilmen, independent oilmen who are going to go to Western Pennsylvania to try to make their fortune, are themselves coming from religious backgrounds, not uncommon for American society at that juncture. But they really see their work in oil exploration as sanctified. They see this as a vocation, something that is not simply about making money.
Now, some of them are very famous, like the Rockefellers and the fortunes that were made there. But what kind of characters were they? One guy you deal with in the book is Petillo Higgins. Who was he?
There is no shortage of characters in our history of oil. Certainly we know about the Rockefellers, and I deal with them extensively over four generations. Petillo Higgins is a very, again, fiercely independent, speculative wildcatter. Who also sees himself as an apostle, really, someone who's going to discover oil and then use that resource and the money from it to rebuild a utopian society. People make fun of him. He is exploring for oil in Texas in the 1890s, is convinced that oil is there in the Beaumont area on the Gulf Coast. No one really believes him, but he is determined to press on, and sure enough, in 1901, the Spindletop discovery takes place in southeast Texas, really on the very spot that Petillo Higgins had long prophesied that oil would be there. And so he becomes really a hero to his community.
This connection with Christianity and religion and religious fervor around oil, it features in the film There Will Be Blood with Daniel Day-Lewis, and you get that mix of oil and religion together. But were these guys, a lot of them wanted to convince the local community that they were going to be good for the area. And was it about them playing a game to some extent, deceiving people in order to make money? Or were they, you know, totally religiously committed to what they were doing, and they saw oil as part and parcel of that?
Great question. Well, of course, there's a range here in terms of sincerity, of belief, and of purpose. The oil men that I tend to focus on, and as I mentioned this, whether it be the Rockefellers or the Stewarts, which formed Union Oil in California, or the Pugh family, which owned Sun Oil, Sunoco, these are individuals who, it's quite evident, they were very sincere in their beliefs, very authentic in their Christianity, and truly did see their work as I said earlier, service to the church, service to their Christian belief and communities. Others, of course, had other different interests in mind, and certainly there are some. You could say the Hunt family, for instance, H.L. Hunt, who found oil in East Texas in the 1930s. This was a swashbuckling individual who liked, to drink and to do things that other Christian oilmen might not have approved of. Nevertheless, he too poured his monies into the church, poured his money into several different Protestant institutions. And so while he might not be seen as kind of as sincere and authentic in his beliefs, he too was helping reshape American petroleum and Protestantism in the 20th century.
Of course, in the latter part of the 20th century, a lot of the oil action moves to the Middle East. And when you look at how the oil industry has evolved and developed there, is there the same religious undercurrent? And you look at fundamentalism in the Islamic world and so forth?
Well, I do track the expansion of American major oil companies. These are companies that are coming out of the Standard Oil Company of the Rockefellers of the late 19th, early 20th century. And I track their movement into the Middle East, into Saudi Arabia, for instance, in the 1930s and 1940s. And in many ways, executives and managers of Aramco, for instance, the largest oil company to emerge at this time out of the Standard family, are going to see their work in Saudi Arabia, in the Middle East, in many ways as an extension of the Rockefeller mission to expand kind of capitalism and Christianity on a global scale. So the hunt for oil, the production of oil in the Middle East, certainly in Saudi Arabia itself, is going to acquire its own kind of sense of sanctification, divine destiny. As we move forward into the 1970s and 1980s, Saudi Arabia and its leaders are going to take control of Aramco. And as I show just at the end of my book, in many ways, assume the same sense of kind of exceptionalism, the notion that God has bestowed favor on this society by giving it ownership of its own oil resources.
When you look back at this whole period and the religious character of how the oil industry developed and that heady mix between religion and oil and their beliefs, does some of that explain perhaps America's reluctance to drop oil, to part with oil, and to look at more sustainable alternatives?
I believe it is, and that certainly is, I hope, to be one of the takeaways here. As I say, oil is not just an economic necessity. It's not just a business practice. It truly is an imprint on the American soul. And that is especially true for those who live in the oil patch region of North America, be it Alberta, Texas, or Oklahoma. This is the home of a fiercely, again, proud independent oil sector. This is these are areas that are truly dependent on oil for jobs, for the economy. But as I suggest throughout the entire book, oil has also made its way into the DNA of those who worship in the pews and preach in the pulpits of churches across the oil patch.
Where do you see President Donald Trump and oil in all of that?
Well, Donald Trump has in many ways, I think, taken the strategy of Ronald Reagan and has applied it to his own America First energy program. Donald Trump is applying that very same message today. Some of his fiercest supporters are not just evangelicals who live in the Southwest in the oil patch region of the country, but also independent oilmen who are asking for the government to deregulate once again and to allow them to explore all frontiers of the continent itself. And Donald Trump has rewarded them with that kind of policy. And looking ahead to 2020, he is certainly courting that same constituency.
Darren Dochuk, thank you very much for joining us on the program. The book is called Anointed with Oil: How Christianity and Crude Made Modern America.